The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Steve, and with me today is...
Kevin Hardy.
Kevin Hardy. We are continuing on in our journey through the Apostles' Creed as we look at the different statements, and we are going to rock into episode 3, covering Maker of Heaven and Earth, which seems like it's only 5 words. Shouldn't take long, but we could be here for a while.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah.
They're all big ones.
They are all big ones. Just so you guys know, in case you've forgotten, since the last time, Kevin and I are pastors at the same church together and love reading books. So Kevin's got a stack. We're looking at, I've got a Creed, or Christ in Creed by Nate Pickowitz. I use an R.C. Sproul, What We Believe, which is a work through... The creeds. I've got a few commentaries that have got creedal stuff in them. And Kevin, what do you use for resources?
I've got J.I. Packer's book, Affirming the Apostles' Creed.
Yeah,
I think it's just a good devotional resource looking at the creed and why it matters. Obviously, what we're talking about. I've got To Be a Christian, an Anglican catechism.
There we go. And we're not Anglican.
For a
and
couple if you Baptist
are,
guys.
Yeah. If you are, we've got some Anglican stuff for you right there.
But solid truth. I've got The Apostles' Creed, A Guide to the Ancient Catechism by Ben Myers.
Yeah,
so that's another.
Yeah.
He's got some good nuggets in there, put out by Lexham Press. So those are good.
Yeah. It's kind of fun, right, doing the creeds because they pre-exist.
Yeah.
Protestant faith.
this is
so
the
we're
OG.
We're grabbing resources to help us process through. I mean, you go far enough back and we're dealing with Catholic theologians before the Protestant Reformation. So we're kind of grabbing from all over the place to help us to make sense of the creed. So it was read for us a little bit earlier here at the start for us by Teresa, so we're going to dive in. Maker of Heaven and Earth. Kevin, we didn't plan this, but you fire into what's a nugget that you took away from this thing?
Well, this is kind of, obviously, as we said, this is foundational stuff. The Apostles' Creed, again, like we've gone through the introduction, we've talked a bit about history of it already, but just this is kind of laying the foundations of our beliefs as Christians across the spectrum, like we just said. Yeah, we're pulling from all these different traditions, but really the base of it is this. Joel Beakey says this. He says, all Christians believe that God the Father Almighty is maker of heaven and earth. This belief is like a great river that runs through Christian history. It distinguishes Christianity from other forms of spirituality. And I think this is kind of the baseline. This is what separates Christianity from other faiths, from other traditions, other worldviews. There are other monotheistic faiths out there, but God is different in those faiths.
And
we're going to get into the specifics of that as we go through the rest of the creed. But
it's interesting, right? And you and I were talking just before we started to record. I do work with a sports team, and last night we weren't talking about the Apostles' Creed, but we got into did God actually make everything?
Yeah.
And it had to do with understanding, we were talking about the Trinity, but it had to, a few of these guys had to wrap their head around the idea, God made everything. There's nothing that exists that isn't from him. Yeah. I kind of drawn a line on a whiteboard and said, the world starts here, and it doesn't matter your worldview. we have this understanding that the world came from somewhere.
Yes.
Whether it's you're a science-based evolutionist kind of person and it's Big Bang.
Yeah.
Well, something created.
Yeah, what's the origin?
Right?
There's an origin.
And here's our origin, maker of heaven and earth. And that's the thing that strikes me. And I came to faith in my teens, right? So I had to undo, you know, the beginnings of all of those science classes that you have. And they start off with, oh, here's the Big Bang, two particles. Well, where did those come from? That doesn't matter. Right? And it's just that reality that there's nothing in this world that came from chance.
No.
Right? And chance
doesn't fit.
There's actually no room in our worldview as Christians for chance to occur.
We're about providence.
Providence, yeah. Sovereignty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
God is actually orchestrating everything.
Yeah.
Whether we understand it or not. So, I mean, I'm looking out the window and there's snow on the tree branches and God did that.
Yeah.
Whereas if we go down the hill in the town that we live in, it's raining down there. And there is a line where God says, yeah, it's going to change here.
Yeah.
It's going to go from snow to rain. And that's that. And God ordains that, right?
Yeah.
And that's all part of this five-word thing.
Yeah.
He's maker of all of that stuff.
Yeah. We wake up with breath in our lungs because God is allowing us to breathe.
Yeah.
Like that's the basis.
Yeah. So, and that's where I ended up. I think it was the R.C. Sproul book that did it. And it talked about just all of those things that just can't be left to chance in our worldview if God is creator, right? Like gravity. If gravity was heavier, the stars would be too hot because stuff would be sucked into them and they would burn up and be burning unevenly and life couldn't happen on Earth because our sun would be inconsistent, right?
Yeah.
We would have hot and cold. And if gravity were lighter, not as pulling as hard, the stars wouldn't have enough stuff being pulled into them to actually burn.
Yeah.
And I look at that and go...
That's wild.
I look at that and go... they didn't teach us that at Bible college.
Yeah,
right? But it's part of the deal, right? So there's that fine balance of gravity, which means we have heat and light.
Yeah.
Which is way back to creation in the Genesis account, right?
Totally.
Like God took care of that in day two and three, I think. Two and three. One and two.
Yeah.
You know, you got the speed of light, which is a little, again, more abstract, trying to think about the speed of light and how fast things move. If the sun extinguishes, it will take 8.5 minutes for us to know it because that's how long it takes the light to get to us.
Yeah.
But if it was any different, the world would either be too bright and too hot or too dark and too cold.
Yeah.
And that's
the precision
is perfect, right? And distance between the stars, things would be colliding if it was too small. They wouldn't be able to sustain if it was too great. Water molecules, if the polarity, right? If water was more like a magnet, we would just be crushed under the weight of the clouds.
Yeah.
And it's just like the stuff that he unpacked was like,
yeah.
Can we just go back to the five words? Like, he made heaven and earth. But then you realize like you can't have the deist mindset where God created
and walked away.
Yeah. Like there is a fine-tuned machine that has to be cared for. And this isn't a case of it'll just run forever without us. Like that perpetual motion machine where you start it up and then you don't have to deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
This world depends on God maintaining that perfect balance despite us being dummies on this world and doing all the environmental stuff that we do that throw things out of whack.
Yeah. He still holds it all together.
He still holds it all together. And that's just, it was hard to wrestle through.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's new to me.
No.
But it was again, something that was really, really hard for me to grab a hold of as we were studying it and think it through. So one of the things that kind of struck me.
Yeah. Well, even when you think of all those different scientific facts that you just shared. And that's only a couple of them. Like that's just a few things, and it's like that makes my head hurt just thinking about that.
Yeah.
But even science itself, the origins of science were to explain the world that God created.
Yeah.
It's like it was this discipline that was going, we're going to explore the world so we can understand this maker yeah. of all things.
Yeah, yeah.
How did he do it?
And that's a big piece of it too, right? You go back 100, 150 years into the world of scientific discovery, and every scientist, every medical discovery was done by somebody who had deep faith. Well, yeah. I shouldn't say every.
Yeah.
Most.
Yep.
Most were done by people with deep faith in God.
That was the foundation.
Yeah, yep. Because they wanted to know, they were searching to know the God that they loved,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's...
And we've
lost that
yeah,
somehow.
Yeah, we live in a day where we pit science against faith. I had a student, a youth student, in my office just a couple weeks ago, asking a lot of really good questions, and one of those was about creation yeah. and evolution. And I was like, don't think that you have to throw your brain out the window to be a Christian. Don't think that you have to not look at science, or like they're pitted against each other.
Yeah.
I was like, these are to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
If God is creator, which our Christianity claims, which our Bible claims, which the creed claims,
yep.
then we're just exploring the world that he's created, and we're just learning more about how he's yeah. how he's done it, because he's given us the ability to do that in the first place, because we're yeah. his creation.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a distinction, creator and creation. So
makes me think of Romans chapter 1,
yeah.
verse 18 through to 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Mm. For what being known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse.
Yeah.
Right? You look at the yeah. world, scrolling on, I don't know, some social media form, and a picture comes on, and it's a split microscope picture of a cell. And just all the pieces inside of a typical cell.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was from, but labeled. And the caption under it was just like, and this happened by chance. Right? And wow. you kind of realize like, okay. Like there's a layer that you get to where you yeah. go, I don't know. I don't yeah. know what to do. And this is, so part of my coming to faith journey is actually watching a David Letterman old school thing. So it was, oh gosh, I was 15
yeah.
and I'm 50 now. So 35 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember who it was he had on the couch, but it was some notable scientist at the time.
Yeah.
And Letterman kept asking the same question over and over and over. Well, where did that come from? So the guy was explaining something
yeah.
about molecular stuff.
Yeah.
Well, where did that come from? And yeah. then he would explain it. Where did that come from? And he finally got the scientist to a spot where the guy just said, well, in science, we don't have an answer for that yet. So we're very uncomfortable answering that question. And
yeah.
Letterman's like, this is what you do.
Yeah.
Like, this
yeah.
is the answer that you have to have.
Yeah.
And here is our answer, right? Everything comes from
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
It's where everything in this world has come from. And it's something that in faith we have to be willing and able to like actually hang our belief structure
yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, we've kind of cut ourselves off at the knees, right? Like we just can't function quite
yeah.
right.
Yeah. And if you want to be consistent, like you said, at some point, we all have to answer that question of
where does this come from?
The first step here, you know? And Christianity has the answer to that. I've seen so many similar stories, right? I remember watching a documentary that was the same thing, same type of questions. Okay, this came from this, but what about origins? And it comes down to faith at that point, because we're all
yeah.
just putting forward different hypotheses, and Christianity has this solid foundation.
Yeah.
I remember I was in West Africa, I don't know, 10 years ago, and I'm sitting with Muslim men in the
yeah.
desert,
yeah.
sitting around a tree. We're talking, they're asking questions about Jesus. It was just incredible. Got to visit a missionary friend over there, and they started asking me what it's like living in Canada. They're like, what's it like to live
yeah,
in
yeah.
a country yeah. where everyone's a Christian? And I was, and I'm laughing. I'm like,
hold on.
We're not all Christians in Canada. And they're kind of like, what? And I was like, yeah, like, not everybody's a Christian. And then they're like, well, what do they believe in? What do people believe in Canada? And I was like, well, a lot of people just believe in themselves.
Yeah.
And they started to laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, well, who do they think made all this?
Yeah.
So here's these, you know, African men, middle of the desert, and they're going, their starting point was where I'm at. You know, they're like, there is a God. Now we veer off in different directions of that, but they were looking at the stars. We're sitting under the, you know, in the desert, looking at the stars above us. And they're like throwing their hands back. Who do they think made this?
Yeah.
So there's that baseline foundation that even these guys, you know, they're not well-educated, you know, these science guys, but they're going, somebody made this.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're making that assumption. So.
Yeah. It makes me, so, right, with Teresa, we're going through weekly the Psalms.
Yeah.
And I love it. I don't have to do any of the work. She does all of the commentary work and brings all of the sweet little nuggets of stuff, and I just kind of interact with it. But every once in a while, you hit Psalms, and I mean, I've been a believer for 35 years, and I've read through the Psalms. I know, like, multiple times, because I've read the whole Bible multiple times.
Yeah.
So, and that's not to say bragging, because the very next thing is, there is so much good stuff in the Psalms that I've just forgotten.
Totally.
And the one that applies straight up to today is Psalm 8.
Yeah.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, this moon, the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you care for him? Right? And then talks about being set below the heavenly beings and just that creation, the beasts of the field are in there. Yeah. And here's this psalm, it's from King David, but here's this guy, again, desert-dwelling guy with no telescopes and no microscopes and no scientists like in our modern world, and he's looking at it going, look at your work. Yeah. Look at this. Yeah. Look at this. This is amazing. Why would you think so well of me to put me in the middle of it?
Yeah.
And that's pretty impressive.
It reveals, and that's where even this documentary I watched a while back just talked about intelligent design not being on the table in our universities, in our schools.
Yep.
And like, they're not even talking about Christianity, but I mean, you get into intelligent design, I think it leads you down that path.
Yeah.
But it, like, that's not even an option.
Yeah.
And here it is, for so much of history, there was an assumption that there was a creator. There, you know, that this was set in motion, this is sustained, this is held together by God.
Yeah.
And now in our day, it's anything and everything else.
Yeah. It reminds me of I was not a good student in high school.
That makes two of us.
Yeah. There was something about just the, you had no ability to really question, right? So when I got to particularly Bible college, and it was much more of a conversation as a student with professors about what are we learning and how does this play out and all that kind of stuff. I can remember in science class, I threw everything in a pile and handed, like, that was my experiment. And the teacher was like, you fail. And I was like, but this is how you say the world is created. So I was just seeing if it would work.
Yeah.
Like, I want
something, if something would come out of this.
Yeah, yeah. I want to make whatever it was we were supposed to make too. Yeah. But I just decided to let it do it by chance.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
See what would come of it. Yeah.
And on principle, at that point, I was a young believer who was trying to sort out my way. On principle, I was willing to fail that class. Thank you, grade 11 chemistry. I was willing to fail that class to make a point to my teacher, saying, stop telling me that, you know, this is the way it goes. Like, I'm immersing myself in scripture, and that's not what we're told.
Yeah.
Yes, there are things that we do to create, right? Like, you're not getting cheese straight out of the cow. Kind of. We got to do some stuff to it to get there.
Totally.
I get that. But you know what? I can't throw a piece of leather and a piece of hamburger together and watch it turn into a cow. Yeah. I can't take a fish and throw it on the ground and say, turn yourself into an animal. Like, all those kind of evolutionary kind of things that we're not allowed to question in our world. Yeah. And here we go again. We go right back to here's the maker of heaven and earth. Like, all of those things, all of these things were made by God.
Yeah.
Right to the point, like, we can't mess with it at all. So. No.
And that has to be the foundation. And I think that's where the creed starts. That's where the Bible starts, yeah. Genesis 1 and 2. And it's not giving us all the ins and outs. It's not a science textbook, but it's telling us that God created, God made. It's making this distinction between creator and creature. And J.I. Packer talks about this in his book. And he kind of gives three things that I think are helpful for us in this creator-creature distinction. And he says, having that distinction, first, it stops our misunderstanding of God. God made us in his image, but we tend to think of him in ours. Yeah. If we even think of God. So like we're just getting to that, right? Like part of the problem is we're not even thinking of God as a foundation. Yeah. So now once we get, okay, you know, God did create. So who is he and how has he done this? Second, this distinction stops our misunderstanding of the world. We begin to see that God created and it was good. You know, there was these ideas back in the day that material is evil.
Yeah,
Christianity doesn't lend itself to that.
I got my Bible open to Genesis chapter 1, and you know, saw that it was good. It was so.
Yeah.
God saw that it was good.
This
is the response. He spoke something into existence.
Yeah.
And then said,
and it happened.
That is good.
Yeah.
Which means, I mean, we don't get the exact timeline, but you kind of look at it and go, okay, so not only did he create with his word, but it doesn't say, oh, and then he decided to try again because he didn't like that one.
Yeah.
No, it is good.
Yeah.
Like this,
the end result
is good. So no matter how weird a duck-billed platypus looks to us, it was good.
Yeah.
Right? The whole of creation was good each day by day by day.
Totally. No, the last distinction, or the last reason that he gives for this distinction, I think is key. And I find it to be a big thing in my life. But he says, this distinction stops misunderstanding of ourselves.
Yeah.
I say this on Sundays all the time, that we constantly need to be reoriented. We need a proper understanding of ourselves. We need to gain our bearings and a right perspective, get our footing sure, get on solid ground. I think of Psalm 73. That's one of my favorite psalms.
Yeah.
And the psalm is by Asaph, who was a worship leader in the temple. And he's looking at the world around him going like, why does everybody else have all this awesome stuff? And why does my life stink? You know, I almost, my foot almost slipped. And then it comes to the middle of the psalm and it says he walks into the sanctuary.
Yeah.
And that's when everything kind of came into light.
Yeah, verse 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until I went into the sanctuary, God, then I discerned their end.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's going, once I get my proper perspective, I see how it's all going to play out. And I just think that's where this creed begins. If we don't believe God is maker, everything else is kind of shaky. But when that's the foundation, everything else builds off of that and makes sense and is consistent. Man is not his own maker. Some may not think of himself as his own master. So he may not think of himself as his own master. That's what Packer says. But I just think that's so valuable for us. Those distinctions, knowing that distinction is just, it's foundational and key for us.
Yeah. I have an old Bible
that
I've carried for a lot, and there's a lot of scribblings in it. And I don't even know where it came from. I don't understand how it works. But at some point, I have looked into biophotothesics, which means in the world of science, there is an understanding that light plays a part of creation.
Yeah.
So light has to be present for things to be created. Mm. And what is the imagery all throughout scripture is that God is light.
Yeah.
So we realize that even in science, there are spots where they point directly at intelligent design by the creator. From, you know, take the fancy Latin ex nihilo, out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the light and the intent of God.
Yeah,
brings us to creation. And so, somebody, if you're out there and you're a scientist and you understand that, send me a message and explain it to me again, because I literally wrote four words in my Bible, biophotonetics. With a little arrow that just says light from life. We have a light that is actually in us, because they talk about that. They talk about the light being necessary for life to exist. And then we have this reality that God is light.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just like there's, you know, if you've ever watched the movie Shrek, it's like an onion. Yeah. We're peeling back the layers,
yeah.
and it just keeps on giving. Yeah. There's just so much more to all of these things, right?
And it all builds off of this. Like, yeah. that's the reality. Like, so often I heard this growing up, you know, if there is a creator, then that has implications for us as his creation. You know?
Yeah.
And that's, a lot of us don't want to acknowledge that. So,
yeah.
And, you know, if I'm accountable to this creator, that impacts what I do today. That impacts yeah. how I live my
yeah.
life.
Yeah. So. And that's exactly how the world looks at it. If.
Yeah.
If yeah. I'm. Oh, no, you are.
Yeah.
You are. And so we had that talk yesterday, too, mm. again, with the sports team. It's just like a case of they're looking at me going, and they're trying to wrap their minds around it. And I'll be honest, like I've got the full spectrum yeah. of people of faith, no faith, and opposing faiths
yeah.
in that room.
Yeah.
So some are willing to kind of go with me on the journey for the mm-hmm. just the process of debate, discussion, yeah. that yeah. kind of thing, kind of an apologetic sort of deal. But yeah. That like just that idea that like we all have to, like, I don't believe in God, but you're telling me I'm going to have to face him at the end of my yeah. life. And yeah. I'm like, yeah,
yeah,
that's my belief structure. Mm-hmm. Now, if you just choose not to believe my belief structure, that's on you.
Yeah.
But if I'm right,
yeah,
you're still going to face God regardless of what you think.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not subjective.
Like that, if you think you can speed yeah. down the highway, have at it. But if the police happens to be there,
yeah.
he's going to get you.
You're
he's
in trouble.
You're going to face him
yeah.
kind of thing. And yeah, it's kind of an interesting bit. Proverbs 22:2, the rich and the poor meet together, but the Lord is the maker of them all. Mm-hmm. It's just that understanding, like we do actually have to fit into our understanding that we are not our own.
Yeah.
We aren't the master and commander of our domains.
Yeah.
There's lots of stuff that we have the ability to decide and do, and you know, day in and day out. But in the cosmos, in the eternal timeline and destiny and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
No, we don't get that control of that.
No.
So we ended up again going back to the conversations last night with the sports team. We ended up with the. Do you fear death? And
yeah.
I'm like, not for me.
Yeah.
Not for my family.
Yeah.
But I fear death for the people who don't know who Jesus is. Because
yeah.
that's going to be a much more uncomfortable
yeah.
reality than for those who do know. So
yeah.
it was a hard conversation for some of those guys to take in that, what do you mean? Like, I might have to pay for the bad choices of my life.
Yeah.
Well, apart from Jesus, yeah, you do. And this is why the maker of heaven and earth will play into
yeah.
all of that salvific stuff that yeah. comes for the rest of,
yeah.
Of the creed, which is
yeah,
which is the good stuff.
Yeah, but
I mean, no, it's all
yeah.
good stuff.
But. Oh yeah, but like that, it's an earth-shattering paradigm. Like, if you believe there is God, then you have to kind of flesh that out, and then we get into the rest of the creed. You hear about Christ and what he's done, and. And he is God. So like there, you know, but if you don't have God as the foundation, none of that other stuff makes sense. Like you have to kind of start there. And
yeah.
So it's helpful for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? You got any great nuggets or is that?
Great
we don't really plan this, as you
yeah.
can tell.
Well, I think that creator and creature distinction is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, just that foundation piece. Really, really putting us in our place. That's where I kind of land with this is like, and again, recognizing the creed for what it is, Genesis 1 and 2 for what they are.
Yeah.
Again, not giving us every little detail of how
yeah,
it worked
yeah.
out, but the foundational piece is that God did this. There is a creator. And it's giving us the knowledge of God.
Yep.
That's as the basis.
It's beautiful. So, beautiful. Well, I wanted to go out with... the first little bit in the Gospel of John,
yeah,
chapter 1, the first few verses, and in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, he was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made, in him was life, and life was the light of men, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, who gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of will, of flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word came flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? We have everything that we just talked about wrapped up in this reality. And we realize, we know, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. He was the light, that's Jesus. All of those statements come through, and you realize John is saying he made everything.
Yeah.
And we're going to unpack these in the coming weeks, but he showed up here in this world.
Yeah.
So that we could be saved. So we could know our Creator.
Yeah.
Our Maker, but also our Savior.
Yeah.
And Redeemer, right? So that's an amazing reality and amazing thought. Well, thanks for joining us for the conversation. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or a comment on our social streams, and tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca, on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day. Hope you can join us next time.